Praise the Lord. Okay, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Good to have each one of you. Cheryl's got some praise reports. Praise the Lord. We love praise reports.
I'm talking first. I have an announcement.
Oh, we got some announcements first.
That's correct. It's Christmas. It's Christmas here. Yes, God's good. So far we've raised $38,030. Praise the Lord. And so far I've spent $33,072. I'm good at spending the money, let me tell you. Praise the Lord. But we're doing really good. We're pretty close to getting everything for Christ Haven. We've got at least 3/4 of it wrapped. The library looks like Christmas has happened in there for sure. And we've been shopping at least 4 days this week and still getting 30% off, which is a blessing. So for those of y'all that don't know, our 17th annual Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit is going to be December the 10th. It's on a Monday from 5 to 7. You're invited to come. It's a lot of fun. Last year we raised $165,500. We've got Christmas for 8,585 children, teen moms, elderly, 447 needy families, and unemployed, and 880 homeless. And actually last year too, for the 17 years, we broke over a million last year, which was really a wonderful thing. So we're grateful to God for everything He does. And I just want y'all to know that these children, these are abused, abandoned, and neglected children, and every one of them has had horrific things happen to them. They've all been molested. Their families, most of them, are in prison for what they did to them, okay? These kids have had horrific life, and I think I told a few of you about, there's one little girl that's wearing, she wanted men's clothes. Okay, why does she want men's clothes? Why does she want to cover herself, you know? Because somebody's messed with her. And so, when I think about some of the stories that I know about, you know, it makes me cry. It makes me sad. But this is something, by what we do for them, by giving them their Christmas wish list. When Christy and I started this, and the reason we started it was because my pastor at the time said, you should do things for children at Christmas, that Christmas is about children. And so I called Christy on the way home. I said, hey, my pastor said this, because we'd been talking about, oh, let's go to a soup kitchen, let's do something. We have too much stuff, you know. Let's do something different for Christmas. And so I said, what do you think about maybe us raising some money and doing a party for some kids or something? She said, that's a pretty good idea. Well, the next day, that was Sunday, Monday, Christ Haven sent me a Christmas card. I don't know how God knew my address, but He did. And so then on Tuesday, I show her the Christmas card, and I call Christ Haven. They say, yes, we'd love for you to do a party, because we only get one present from the fire department, and then the kids get to choose a present from the things that might get left there. But that's it. They didn't have Christmas until we started giving them Christmas. Do you understand? Okay. So then when we started, so that first year, we raised $16,000. I mean, you know, that was a lot. And to us, it was a lot. And we bought everything everybody needed, what they wanted. They didn't want as much back then as they do now. They didn't know they could really get to us, you know. But they get to all the desires of their heart. But they remember this. You know, they're excited about it. When they come there, if they've been there, they're excited. And the ones that haven't been there, they may not be excited until the thing gets rolling. And then they get excited. Everybody gets excited. So it's a lot of fun. And, you know, we bless them and it changes their lives. I've told you also about the one little girl. She joined about 3 weeks before Christmas. They called me and they said, oh, can you help this little girl? I said, sure. And she wore a size 24, and she was 14 years old. You know, that's four times my size. Do you understand? I mean, that's terrible. Why at 14 is she wearing a size four times my size? She should be littler than me, you know? And when she came in, Amy, the child advocacy, came up to me, and I, for whatever reason, gave her a lot of presents. I always give the new kids more presents, but this girl, I gave her a lot. And I was also fortunate. I was at Walmart, and this I saw somebody kind of lean down, and I said, excuse me, can you help me? And when she came up, she was about 22, 24, and she was a very large girl. And I said, you know, I've never bought this size before. I said, can you help me, you know, so we can get her something kind of hip for, you know, being a teenager. And she said, sure. Man, she was like showing me this, showing me that. She was like, she got into the program. Oh, I like this better than this. You know, it's like we really went into it. So when Amy came up to me, she said, you don't know what you did for, this little girl's name was also Amy. She said, you have no idea what you did for her. She said, you see those clothes she's got on? Now, she's got the same clothes on that she's had for 3 weeks. She said, those are the same clothes she came in when she came in with a sack. They, most of the kids show up with it, maybe a sack, if nothing, just the clothes on their back. She said, those are the same clothes that she's been wearing for 3 weeks. She said, everybody, because she's so large, everybody was afraid to go buy for her. They didn't know what to buy. Well, God sent me somebody to help me to buy, because I didn't know what to buy either. Anyway, she said, you have so blessed her. You have no idea. Well, her story is a good story. She, I think, stayed there a couple of years. She got her hairdresser license, and she became a hairdresser. But this little girl, her whole life, had been sexually abused by all her druggy mother's boyfriends. Constant. So, yuck. You know, what a terrible life. No wonder she was four times my size, because her life was yuck. So that's those are the kids we're helping. We're not helping just somebody that, oh, just doesn't have any money and here, give me some presents. That's not what we're doing. These kids have been just mutilated. You know, their hearts, their souls, their spirits, they're just yucked in their bodies, you know. So anyway, I just want you to know those are who we're helping. And if you can help by your donation, offering, write it on your check. Children or Christmas are on your offering envelope. And also, we're next week I start buying for Grace, and those are the ones where we help a lot of families. Grace has like, I think they have 2,000 children, 700 families, and then Salvation Army has 3,000 children and 750 families. Justin Community Clothes Closet has, they service 3,000 people every month. And okay, so if you have any used clothes, now's a good time to start cleaning out your closet, bringing them here, and we'll deliver them over to Justin, Community Clothes Closet, and we appreciate all that. Okay. Now, we're going to praise, because we have a lot to be praising. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we had this young man, he wrote us, and he said, we prayed for his safety in Florida. We told him it was done. There was a big storm coming to Tallahassee, and he was concerned about the area, and lots of damage, people hurt, God help us. And he wrote back and he said, the storm went toward the west. We did come through very good, not much to deal with. Had approximately 5 days without power, but had gas and was able to get more. So all was good. Praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Okay, walking April, our dog, last night in a new home construction. She's about 15 years old. Stepped off a 12-inch step into a dark room, and she fell. And as she landed on her side, her left leg stuck straight out like it was out of joint, and she was crying. I picked her up carefully and started praying in the spirit, and as I set her down, I laid my hands directly on her leg, believing Mark 16:18, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Then I prayed with my wife over her, believing whatever I pray, believing I shall receive. Matthew 21:22, in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Colossians 3:17. Then I carried her down the stairs and set her on her four legs. And by this time, only a few minutes from the fall, she stopped crying and she walked all the way home with a slight limp. The next morning, praise God, we went on our normal walk for about a mile and she showed no signs of a limp. And she even ran on it several times during the walk. Praise God forevermore. His living word works for those who are saved and strive to live a daily, godly, holy, sanctified life. All we must do is act on the revealed scriptures we have come to know, being led by God the Spirit, and keep standing firm, overcoming all doubts until the answer manifests.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God even heals puppy dogs. Isn't that something?
He does. And the puppy dog's owners, too. All right. We had prayed for this man. Yeah, we did. I continue to grow in faith as I listen to your teaching each day. As always, I thank you for your steadfast dedication to the body of Christ. Your prayers for me have carried me through quite a number of challenges. TLSM is indeed an oasis of faith. Last April, you prayed for me regarding an infection starting in my lungs. You taught me that anything that's in the lungs has to do with what I'm saying or thinking. I sought the Lord, and I did identify some negative thoughts about myself. You prayed for me, and within one day, the infection went away after I repented. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We love it.
And he said he will continue to love himself and grow in the revelation of who I really am. Oh, and he also thanked us for taking the valuable time to help him. Okay, I'm happy to make this donation to your wonderful ministry. I've learned so much by watching your videos on YouTube and by listening to your teachings from your website. Many faithful and godly people have been praying for me, including the elders of my church, and God has recently healed me from MRSA, which I've suffered from for 3 years. I'm praying that our church will expand its teaching ministry to include a healing ministry and asking God to plant the desire to do this in the minds and hearts of our elders. Further, I'm very grateful for your email response to my inquiry earlier this week about the eczema on my hands and the prayer you prayed for me. My hands are better, and I'm taking your admonition to heart to stop sinning by believing the lie and walking in self-hate. Thank you again for your straight-up, scripture-based ministry. I'm praising God for you. Blessings to you, your family, and your ministry workers. Carla.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. We still serve a God that answers prayer, huh?
Amen.
Praise reports every week. I just can't stand it. Praise reports every week. Lord, have mercy, what a deal. Okay, we're coming up on something very critical. It's a time that everybody needs to do something. What's fixing to happen in the next few weeks? Oh, somebody said voting. I mean, after all, we're Christians. We don't need to go vote, right? Everything's going to work out good anyway. You know, if you don't have to go, you can just let somebody else do it. Leave it up to somebody else. You don't have to worry about voting. I'm a Christian. I don't need to vote. Wow. You have no idea the privilege that you have to vote is the privilege that you have to vote. And then you won't go vote. Did you know that if just the Christians that say they're Christians were to vote, we wouldn't have any problem with getting the right man or woman in office? But we don't do anything. I mean, so many Christians do not vote. I mean, your friends, everybody you're around, talk to them about voting. You know, I mean, so ask them, are you registered to vote? Are you registered to vote? Are you registered to vote? Are you going to vote? Are you registered to vote? Why do people not vote? It's amazing that here we have this magnificent privilege to vote, and we don't do it. We don't vote. We don't tell nobody about it. We don't read the word. Nothing. It amazes me to think of the people that don't vote. I've realized how important that was, I guess, nearly all of my life. Of course, back yonder, when I was a kid, we had two parties, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans. And you really couldn't tell too much difference between either one of them, you know, when I was a kid. Yeah. But now then, here the last time they had a caucus or whatever you call that thing, whenever all these men got together, especially when the Democrats had theirs, I mean, the Republicans, you know, they're kind of conservative and everything, and so they pretty well seem to agree with most of them agree with the things I believe. You know, like I just tell you right off the bat, I think the murdering of a child is a sin. I really believe murdering a little child, whether it be in the womb or outside. Now, the last president that we had, not the one we have now, but the one we had before, he wanted to make it legal to kill that child up to 3 full days after it was born. Now, I mean, that's okay. Not anything wrong with killing a 3-day-old baby, right? You got to be kidding. Nobody could be that cruel. But they are. And that's why we go vote. We go vote to get people in office that think like we think. And of course, now your thinking should come from the Word of God. You should think the Word of God. People say, well, that's not any of my business. It is your business. God is going to hold you responsible. Just think. Those children that they've killed, that they know, that we know how many are killed, that's running over 60 million. I can't even count 60 million. And we have killed over 60 million children in the last few years since we've made Roe v. Wade a legal way to get rid of people, abortion. And of course, you know, when I see a person, and you know, when I see a person that says, I believe that a woman should have the right to do what she wants to do with her body. So if she wants to have an abortion, that's okay. But it's not okay. She's killing a human being. Now then, what I believe, all of you know in here know what I believe. I believe you should tell people about sin and they don't sin before they go to bed together.
Yeah.
You know, I think that when they bring a child into the world, they need to be married and they need to be walking in love with each other. They need to know this is my mate. We're going to be together forever. We're going to work together as a team. We're going to provide for the children that God lets us come into the world. And then we're going to do great and wonderful things with these children. We're going to raise them up. We're going to teach them about Jesus. And we're just going to have a great life. Now, if that's the way you're living and thinking, then that's the way I live and think. I believe that you should raise up your children. I think, first of all, a man and a woman should get married. Now, I was really old fogey. I'll just tell you some of my stuff here so you'll know where I come from. My mother, especially, she taught me to not have sex with any woman until after I got married. I mean, my goodness, you talk about old fogey. Now, I mean, today, you can't turn on the TV without seeing people having sex or homosexuals or whatever, perverts. It's all over the place. I mean, it's everywhere. It's okay. Thurman, you're just an old fogey. Well, let me tell you, I got that old fogey stuff from the Bible. The Bible was the Word of God, and the Word of God says I'm not supposed to have sex with no one. In fact, that old book that we read clearly said in the old way of doing things, if you had sex with a woman or a man outside of wedlock, you were to be stoned until dead.
Amen.
So obviously God doesn't like it. And so people, they don't understand. But, you know, we need to learn what the Word says. And then I've heard this everywhere I go when I start even talking about Jesus. You know, people say, you know, well, my goodness gracious, you know, we don't believe like that no more. You know, you can believe like that, but we don't believe like that no more. But my mother told me, she said, Thurman, whatever you do, when you go with a girl, don't ever even go with a girl unless you think you might be interested in marrying her. Don't just go with a girl just to go dating. I said, well, Mom, it seems like all the boys and girls, that's what they do. They all, you know, date and go out. She said, but there's something that could happen in your life that you don't want to happen. And that is, said, you're a boy and she's a girl. And there is an attraction between boys and girls, and that attraction makes them want to have sex. And if you have sex, that's how babies come into the world. So if you go to bed if you go out with a girl, and you think, well, I wouldn't even be interested in her at all, but something were to happen, and you and her were to wind up in bed together, and you had sex, and that girl got pregnant, if you didn't want her as a wife, he said, you're stuck now because God's going to hold you responsible for raising that child and taking care of it all of its life. So I said, okay, Mom, we'll make sure that if I go with a woman, I will make sure that she's a woman I wouldn't mind spending my life with. And so that's what I did. So I hardly ever dated. I just didn't go anywhere. I could go out and work on my car or do something like that. I could work, do something for somebody else. I could make money. But I tried to stay away from the girls because I knew, as I listened to what my mother told me, there was an attraction between me and a female. And it's amazing how that works, isn't it? There's an attraction. And so you need to stay away from them, because if you date one of them and you do go out on a date, and I will have to say that I tried to do everything my mother and my dad. My mother was more on top of the word than my dad was. My dad didn't do a good job of training me about the Word of God. But my mother done a whole lot better job than my dad. Dad was always trying to make a living. He was a worker, and he tried to make a living to feed all of us. And so anyway, we had a good time in life growing up by being good Christians. But whenever I went with a woman that I went with, when I did see one, in fact, I don't know how this works, but I do know that there's an attraction, and that attraction. I was a mechanic at the Chevrolet house when I was a kid, a young boy. And there was a mother, had two daughters, lived up just north of Gold's Lake where I was working in the Chevrolet house. And one Friday afternoon I was working, and they came by the shop. As they drove by, that mother was driving her 49 Ford car. And as they drove by, this woman sitting by the passenger side door looked out, and she looked up and saw me and Jerry, a friend of mine, standing there. And as they went by, I waved at them. And so anyway, she waved back, and whenever Jerry said, I said, you see that girl that just waved at me right there? He said, yes. I said, that girl's going to be my wife. He said, Thurman, have you ever had a date with her? I said, no. I ain't never had a date with her. You know, I mean, who would ever dream you could say something like that and it come to pass? But I said, made that statement. I said, that girl is going to be my wife. How do you know? I said, I just know. He laughed at me. He said, Thurman, do you know that girl's going, she's got a promise ring from another guy up in Mullen at the high school up there. And I said, it don't make any difference. It don't make any difference to me what anybody says. That girl that just passed by here with her mother and her sister, that girl's going to be my wife. See, I had no idea the power of spoken words. I had no idea what could happen. But anyway, as things went along, one day, I think it was, I was already out of high school. Yeah, I'd graduated. In fact, I'd been out a couple of years, and I was working full time at that Chevrolet house. And as I was working there, one day I was out at the cafe to eat a hamburger or something, and one of the guys told me, said, you know this girl that you said that you was going to marry her, do you know that girl that I told you she was going with another guy? And do you know that she went out to West Texas to see her grandmother and grandfather, and while she was gone, that guy she was going to marry married another girl.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing how all that works? And so he said, you know, you got a chance now. You might marry her, Thurman. At least you ain't going steady with somebody. So anyway, we didn't have no phones and no such thing as a cell phone or nothing like that. You couldn't call nobody. So anyway, I thought, well, I'll just drive up there to her house and talk to her. So I drove up there, and I went into the house. She lived in a little tiny two-room house, her mother and dad and her sister. And so whenever I went in and talked to her a little while, I asked her, I said, would you I understand that your boyfriend married another girl. And she said, yes, he did. And I said, well, I said, I don't know whether I could fill in as second best or whatever, but I said, I would like to take you to the movie in Brownwood tonight if you'd like to go. And she said, oh, I'd love to go. So we went up there to the movie and came home. Of course, she sat on her side. I sat on my side. What a deal. And all the time I'm thinking that my mother told me, don't ever go with a girl that I wouldn't want to marry, because if something might happen and I might have to marry her. So I said, okay, Lord, this ain't going to happen. I'm going to make sure that I'm a good boy. But I said, at least she's pretty, you know. So anyway, as things went along, a year later, I married her. And my mother-in-law didn't tell me until after I married her daughter. Said that she said Betty was so heartbroken when her boyfriend jilted her. She thought the world had come to an end. She thought her life was over. I mean, you know, it's really terrible how bad life was, she thought, and said she just sucked. You know, she was so heartbroken. And she said that first night that you come up and took Betty to the movie in Brownwood and brought her back home, she said she come into my room and told me, said, Mother, I am so glad I didn't marry Ralph. She said Thurman is more fun than Ralph ever was. So see, you don't ever have any idea how things are going to go. But anyway, I was married to that girl for 41 and a half years. And then, of course, she died and with my daughter and everything. And then there's a lady made a statement the other day. She said, if I'm out of order, forgive me for now. But she says, I heard you make a statement on one of your teachings that I really didn't like. And I said, what's that? And she said, it was about your wife, Cheryl. She said, you said there that somebody asked you in church, were you ever going to get married again? And you says, no, I don't plan to ever marry again. And somebody asked you, well, if you did get married, what would be the requirements? I said, well, I'm going to set my standards extremely high. Because if I get married, I said, first thing, this girl is going, since I'm a pastor, this girl is going to have to be a spiritual knockout. I mean, I said, if I fall off the edge of the bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, and me and Cheryl have had some of these deals. I mean, we prayed for people. She met all those requirements. So anyway, I said, she's got to be a spiritual knockout. If I say, honey, so-and-so just called, and of course we get these things all the time, you need to pray. And so we're constantly praying. If you're a praying man or woman, and you see testimonies where you and your wife pray, I guarantee you got a spiritual knockout. Yeah. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? Yeah. You need a spiritual knockout so that when you said, or I may walk in and Cheryl, she'll never, just like a while ago, I went back there to tell her something before church, and she said, honey, this person contacted us, and we got to pray right now. So we prayed over those people right then. Yeah. You know, while y'all were out here talking and having fun, me and Cheryl's back there and praying over people. So you see what I mean? When I said I need a spiritual knockout, what do I need? I need a spiritual knockout. Now, what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
We all should have a desire to have a spiritual knockout.
Yes.
You know? And then I said, you know, she's also got to be a physical knockout. She's got to be beautiful from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And she said, I really don't think that you should have made that statement. And I told Dave, I said, Dave, when we were young boys and we were looking for a wife, I said, when the girls come by, if you had one that was extremely ugly, if you did see one, I mean, everybody, you might glance at her, but you know, but I said, if you walk in and she is beautiful and gorgeous from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, I said, how many boys look at her? He said, all of them. Isn't that true? So is there anything wrong with wanting to be beautiful?
No.
I think not. I hope it's not, because every woman I ever seen, almost every woman, they want to be beautiful. Now, they're trying to make themselves attractive. And, of course, Cheryl, you know, she's no different. You know, whenever I met her, she used to put makeup on all the time. And, I mean, she was gorgeous. I mean, she still is. But from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, she's a gorgeous girl. And so, like I said, you know, if I ever get married, she's got to be a spiritual knockout and she's got to be a physical knockout, you know. Why would I want an old ugly girl? You know, I mean, good grief, I want one that's beautiful. Is there anything wrong with me wanting a beautiful girl?
No.
I would think not. So anyway, and then I said, then the last thing is, of course, she's got to be filthy rich. So I said that day in church, I said, if any of y'all meet this criteria, if you're come see me. I might be interested. Nobody come see me. But anyway, all of that to say that we have a very, very special event coming up. And this very special event is voting. And I want to make sure that everybody here knows that the most important thing you can do in the next few days is read about the people that are running for office. Vote for the ones that believe like you believe. Now then, if you believe that killing a baby is okay, then me and you got a problem. I don't believe like you believe. And I want you to know I don't believe it. But I want you to know there's people out there. And, you know, that there's people out there that absolutely believe that killing children is okay. And they believe that lying is okay. And they believe that not believing in God is okay. Now then, since it was on national television, I'm going to say this because the world will tell you you're not supposed to talk about who you're going to vote for and whatever. But I'm going to tell you something that will leave no doubt in your heart who I'm going to vote for. Anytime I see somebody that doesn't believe, yeah, that's hard for me to even say. I can't hardly even think like that. We do not want God in our platform. I don't want God in my platform. Now, they stood there and I watched that. If you watched that deal that night, you saw that, did you, Miss Jackie?
Yes, I did.
So many of you saw that. We do not want God in our platform. Which group was that?
Democrats.
The Democrats. I mean, this is a fact. I mean, people say you can't say who you're going to vote for. Well, if they don't want God in their platform, and they, I mean, me as a Christian, you can do anything you want to do with this, but if I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus Christ and there's only one way to heaven, there ain't two ways or three ways, there's only one, is Jesus Christ, and if he's the only one and the people say we don't want him, then I don't want you directing me in my way of life.
All right.
I want somebody that's not afraid to stand up there. I mean, this new president we've got, he's not afraid of nobody. I mean, he'll stand up there. He don't care whether you're red, yellow, black, or white. It makes no difference to him. He'll tell you just exactly like it is, and that's the way it is. And all I can say is my hat's off to the man. You know, I realize he's made some mistakes, you know. I mean, guarantee he's made some mistakes. And he'll make some more. But if I ever stop to check this body out, I can tell you this body's made a few mistakes too.
That's right.
And every one of you that I look at know that you've made a few of those mistakes too.
Yes.
There ain't nobody in this room hadn't made mistakes, but that's why we needed a Savior.
Amen.
If we could be without it, we could be a Democrat. You know, if we don't need God, we could be a Democrat because there'd be no sin. But I thought to myself, well, I was watching the news the other night, and actually, it was awful. Hillary said if they had to put me in office, they wouldn't be having all these problems that they're having today. And I thought, you know, she's telling the truth. You know, she's telling the truth. The Democrats are behind all these people that are causing all these problems, just like all these Hondurans and El Salvadors and all the people of Mexico and all the stuff that are coming up here. All that stuff is being instigated by the Democrats. It's a fact. You know, it's absolutely a fact. So when somebody said, well, I'm a Democrat. If you're in this room and you're a Democrat, I'm sorry for you. I really am sorry for you. But, you know, the thing about it is, you have the right in America to be a Democrat if you want to be a Democrat.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be a Democrat and you vote for who you want to and you vote for a person that is a Democrat, you're going to vote for people that believes in abortion.
Amen.
There's so many things that they do that I couldn't possibly do. How could I possibly believe that one thing they said? I just can't even talk about it. I think about that. How could a group of people in America say we don't believe in God? Well, we got a bunch of them running for office. They don't believe in God. And we want you to know on national television, and I watched it, and Miss Jackie watched it, and Cheryl watched it. We don't want God. We don't want Him. And then somebody realized that they'd made a mistake. So the guy up there said, well, maybe we've got a little bit too heavy on this, and maybe we need to put God back in our platform. Now we want everybody that wants God in the platform to holler.
No.
You couldn't really hear them.
No.
And then they said, everybody that believes we should have no God, they screamed to the top of their lungs. Did anybody see this besides me and these few? You saw it too? I mean, I'm telling you, you know, I want you to know that voting is very, very important. But make sure, if you're a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, make sure that who you vote for believes like you believe. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, to me, I am so heartbroken that we could live in America and we could have people living in America that are, some of them will be your neighbor, like that lady here. We had a woman that used to work for us, and she had a friend that he voted for Bill Clinton when he would vote and run for president. And she said, this woman that worked for us was a godly woman. And she says, you voted for Bill Clinton as president? She said, yes. She says, but he's a Democrat and he's not a believer in Jesus Christ. Why did you vote for him? Because he's so handsome. When we get to the point where a Christian woman votes for a man that's one of the wickedest presidents we've ever had, Bill Clinton, because he's handsome, we got a problem. We have a major problem in America when people that will go to church will vote for somebody because they're good looking. It doesn't make any difference what you're going to do for the country. You may not know nothing about running a business. You know. And there was people that voted for Barack Obama. Same kind of deal. Yeah, same kind of deal. They voted for him because he was handsome, because he was, you know, outgoing and all this kind of stuff. So, but it's to kill babies is okay, to steal, to lie, to cheat. God, he plainly says he didn't want God. So let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just here to tell you, I am a Christian, and I ain't ashamed of being a Christian. And I guarantee you, I'm going to vote for somebody that's a Christian if there's somebody running.
Amen.
If they're running, I'm going to vote for them. If they ain't, then I ain't going to vote for them. I'm serious, Miss Jackie. I'm going to vote for a Christian somewhere. I'm going to find that Christian somewhere, and I'm going to vote for him.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. But to think, they sat up there, and they went over that, and over that, and over that, screaming about who does not want God in our platform. And they just got louder, didn't they?
They got louder and louder.
You saw that.
I saw it.
So you know why I'm heartbroken. Because a group of people in America that's enjoying the benefits and
the freedom, the blessings of God.
That man right there is just one man that I know in this room that fought in one of these wars or that went to war. There was a fighter pilot or was a whatever. He could have been killed any time defending the rights of these people to vote for whoever they want to, and some of them won't even go out and vote.
Yeah, and they burn our flags.
I mean, you know, we went to war for these people, didn't we, Tony?
Mm-hmm.
We did that so that they could enjoy the benefits.
Yeah.
And they enjoy the benefits, and then they kill children. That's why that every Christian, every person that calls themselves a Christian, you need to make sure you need to check out what it takes to be a Christian.
Yeah, amen.
If you're even thinking about voting for somebody that believes in murder, when the Word of God says God hates those that murder.
Innocent blood.
Yes, those that we need to read the owner's manual, don't we, brother?
Yes, we do.
When we read the owner's manual, we need to see what that thing says, and we need to make sure that the way we vote is going to line up with those the ones that will believe like we believe.
Yeah.
And I will have to say that since we have put Trump in office, I mean, that night Hillary left, she knew she'd won that thing.
Yeah.
She knew she was. It was over. She won. She thought this is done. I'm the winner.
Yeah.
You know, I'm grateful to God. Now I want you to think what I'm trying to make you realize is because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's people in every kind of every church in the Metroplex, and some of them are conservative. And some of them are Democrats. And they're Christians. And they call themselves Christians.
Yep.
I talk to them all the time. Everybody that comes through that I talk to them, if we talk at all, I say, you know, are you a Christian? Yes. Are you registered to vote? Yes. What do you call yourself? A Democrat or something or whatever? Oh, yeah, I'm a Democrat. I say, you know, how can you be a member of the Democratic Party and it says that they don't want nothing to do with God? I haven't figured that out yet. How do you figure that out? What is wrong with the situation? Let me ask you this question. Maybe I've got something confused. Is it possible to be a Democrat and a Christian?
No.
Impossible. No. See, in other words, y'all see this just like I see it, right? It's impossible to say that God, that you hate God.
Yeah.
So I'm going to step over here in this party, and while I'm over here with this bunch, they say that they don't believe there's a God. So, and they call themselves Democrats. Okay, so we go out to eat together and we do all this kind of stuff and everything, and then when I come home, I come to some of my other buddies, and my other buddies, they're Republicans. They don't believe in killing babies. It seems that we have a problem here that I don't understand. How can I possibly be a Republican and believe in killing babies? The Republican Party, do they believe in killing babies?
No,
they do not. Now that sounds like my kind of party, don't yours? I think we shouldn't kill children. I think we shouldn't have sex before we get married either. I think that's the way it should be. And all I'm doing is everything I'm trying to tell you today, I want it to line up with God's Word. Anytime I say something, if it don't line up with God's Word, if you want to get up and walk out anytime you want to and say, Thurman's crazy, he lost his mind, that's okay too. It may come down to where there's only a handful of us left in here, but there's going to be a few of us that are going to believe it together.
Amen.
I'm going to be one of them.
Amen.
I'm kind of like what Cheryl told me one time. I said, you know, this is amazing how these people believe like they do. I said, you know, if they all believe like they do, and they believe it's okay to have multiple wives and kill these kids and all this kind of stuff, I said, so maybe I ought to have another wife. So I can have two or three. She said, well, you can go ahead and get you another one, but if you do, you're still going to have just one because I'm going to be gone. She wasn't understanding it at all. She's from the old school.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
Miss Carrie, are you from the old school?
Amen.
In other words, if God said in His Word, we need to vote. And of course, when the Lord says, nobody is in office except I put him there. That gives me a little bit of peace, but that way I know that if I go vote, that's just like whenever we went and voted last year before last. We knew that we had voted, that we had prayed, and we'd done the best job we can. And we knew that whoever came out to be the winner, we knew it was going to be our Jesus' choice. And so whenever they thought, the Democrats thought they had won that, when it came down to it, everybody in the world was shocked.
Everybody.
Trump won. That's impossible. He couldn't possibly have done that. There's no way. The news media and everything said Hillary's going to be the next president. Well, boy, did they get their socks knocked off.
The news people started crying.
Yep. Isn't that something?
Yes, they did.
So all we got to do is, we as Christians, the one thing we have got to do to make it everything work like it's supposed to, is to pray and get out there and vote for somebody that believes like you believe.
Amen.
And if you read this book, and you believe, if you read this book, and you're going to see where it says he hates those that kill innocent blood, that means that if anybody believes in abortion, you don't want nothing to do with it, right?
Wow.
Amen. Wow. We're going to vote shortly.
Starts tomorrow.
Early
tomorrow.
We're going to vote tomorrow.
Yeah.
Early voting.
Yeah. We're going to, actually, we're not going to vote till the 6th, right?
Early
voting starts tomorrow?
Starts tomorrow.
Okay, so if early voting starts tomorrow, you can go in and vote tomorrow, right?
Yes, you can.
So you got, a whole week to vote early voting? Is it a whole week?
I don't know.
Make sure that you're ready. Make sure, in other words, just make sure you vote for somebody that believes like you do. And of course, it's not very many of them out there. But at least vote. You know, if you can't do nothing else, at least go vote. Pray before you vote. And believe that God can take your vote that you put in there and put it wherever He wants it. But at least you need to go vote. And early voting is tomorrow, Monday,
tomorrow.
Tuesday. Go vote.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. I just,
we need to pray because they've already started with the ignorance of a lot of senior citizens, and other people had voted early, like they sent in their ballots, and they can't find them. Thousands.
We've already lost them?
Absentee ballots.
Yeah.
So we have to pray.
Right.
See their name.
Mm-hmm. I don't care who votes, I mean who prays, whatever, but I want somebody right here in this group right now to stand up and pray whatever. If you only want to say one word or a line or whatever, I want somebody to stand up and vote and then sit down, and then I want somebody else to stand up and vote. And I want, until everybody has voted, prayed, that wants to pray, we're going to be here. So somebody, who will stand up and pray first? Who will stand up? Okay, we got one. So we got three of them standing right there. Just take them. Mike stood up first. Bill stood up next. Okay, and let's go. Get going, Mike.
Daddy, we just praise you and thank you that we don't even live in this realm, but we can influence it.
Daddy, thank you. Thank you that you gave us the authority to use our brother's name and have dominion over this. And we just take dominion over this election process. And we take dominion over the demons and the unclear thinking that calls evil good and good evil. And we just ask, Daddy, that you give us a little while on this earth that we can preach the gospel and win people into the kingdom, and that our country will stay strong and stay away from socialism and stay away from demonic influence, and that there are enough Christians left that we can dominate. Daddy, as long as there's just a few of us, we can save the cities. We can save the states. We can save the country. Daddy, you're not going to let this thing be overrun while there's still your beloved here. And you have given us dominion, and we take it, and we thank you for it, Daddy. And we just praise you that we will have enough people show up and vote that we can win this election cycle, and then we can win the presidency again, and that we can continue and just continue to be free, that our money is still worth something, that we're not at war on our own soil, that we have godly men and women put in office, and that we can save these babies, and that it will become more and more difficult to just take innocent lives, and that Roe versus Wade will be completely reversed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you for this. Thank you for the blessings. And we just send blessing with all of us. Just multiply our votes. Bless everything that we touch. And we just thank you for it. In the name above all names, our brother Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Okay. And it's
gracious
Bill.
Heavenly Father, we're here today, Lord, in one accord. Lord, we're here as a corporate group of people that have a heart for you, Lord, as you have a heart for us. And we love you with all of our heart, mind, and soul. But, Lord, words without actions, Lord, is like faith without actions. It has to be done that we will do our part, Lord, and then we know you will do yours.
Yes,
so
Lord.
First, Lord, put it on the hearts and minds of all people. In fact, Lord, use your Holy Spirit in this situation like you did with Pharaoh, Lord, when you controlled when he would not let the people leave Egypt, and then he would release that situation, and it continued to go back and forth and back and forth, and it was according to your will the way it was done. We have a definite reason, Lord, for our prayer today, because, Lord, we know that our country hinges on what we do with you and how you solve our problems. But we know what happens when we cut you out of our lives.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and that's not what we're here to do. Lord, we know that through the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you can guide and influence the people that would come out and vote for the Republican Party in order to be able to facilitate the success of this president's continued work and the members of Congress with him. I lift every member up of our government, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you will, at this time, implement your thoughts into their minds so that they will do the right thing. And, Lord, I pray also for the ones that are not Republicans, the ones I pray for the people, Lord, that are making the biggest mistake of their life by cutting you out of their lives, and their destiny, Lord, is headed for hell, and we don't want to see them go, Lord. We don't want anybody to. So, Lord, look it upon our hearts, and if we're clean, Lord, like we're trying to be for you, Lord, and to do what you'd have us do, guide and help us, Lord, as we proceed, because, Lord, we know the direction we want to see our country continue to go in as it you've given us a reprieve this year, Lord. Let us not backslide. Let us not forget who caused all of this to happen. We give you the praise and the glory and for the manifestation, Lord, of implementing all these things that we're asking today. Lord, we thank you for our pastor that would be reminded to tell us, Lord, about what we should be doing, and we're going to continue to do that. And, Lord, we just want to give you our love and our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Pass that microphone on over there. Praise the Lord.
Father God, we give you glory.
Yes, Lord.
Father, you said in your word, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, you promised that you will hear from heaven, you'll forgive us of our sins, you'll heal the land. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus over the petitions, Father. Remind you of your word, Father, you said, if two of us agree as touching anything we shall ask, it should be done for our Father which is in heaven. Father, we put to your word again, Father God, you said righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that the Spirit of God go forth to and fro throughout this nation, throughout the state of Texas, Father God. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, do you impregnate individuals' hearts to receive the engrafted word which is able to save their soul and also the soul of this nation, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, you said in your word, Father, as it is written, that whatsoever we shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Therefore, we bind all calamity, all interference regarding selection procedures in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And Father, we thank you, you said in your word, Father God, remind you of your word, Father, as it is written, that whatsoever we shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Father, in Jesus' name, loose ministering angels to go forth, Father, now in the name of Jesus. Individuals not even considered voting, Father God. You pregnate their hearts with the knowledge of the truth regarding this election, Father, in Jesus' name, that they'll do the righteous things of righteousness, Father God. That they do righteous things regarding these elections, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Father God, and give boldness to those individuals, especially in the classrooms of these little children, Father God. The next generation coming up, Father God, we just praise you, Lord God. These little kids are rising up in boldness. They're not going to be intimidated by harassment of teachers and individuals in the secular marketplaces. We praise you, Lord God, for individuals in the pulpits, Father. They're speaking forth your words of truth, Father, in Jesus' name. They're speaking words of righteousness and truth, Father God. We remind you, Father, that these individuals in your pulpits were backbones of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. The rod of God in their being, Father God, you say that you're their rear guard, Father God. You are their rear guard. So, Father, we praise you right now. For everyone under the sign of our voice this evening, Father God, throughout the airwaves, saturate the airwaves, Father. We thank you right now. The stronghold is bound. The strong man is bound in the name of Jesus. All principalities and powers of spirit are in heavenly places. Rulers of darkness in this present world are under the blood of Jesus regarding this election, Father God. We just praise you right now upon these righteous candidates in the name of Jesus. Protect them, Father God, in Jesus' name. Protect their going out and their coming in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. They're lying down and they're rising up as well, Father God, in Jesus' name. They're not being intimidated by a spirit of fear. We just thank you, Father, and give you glory and honor and praise regarding this righteous word of integrity and righteousness through the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We praise you now, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hand the mic on to whoever stands up next. Whoever stands up next, hand the mic to them. We want everybody that wants to pray, we need to pray. We need to make sure God hears from heaven.
Amen.
Now, we're serious about this. Go ahead and pray.
So, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I just thank you for this beautiful country, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you protect this beautiful country, Father, and that you turn the hearts and lives of the wicked to turn towards you, Father. And I'm asking you, Lord, this is a very important election. And I'm asking you, Father, to remove from positions of authority those who stubbornly oppose you and your righteousness, Father, and replace them with men and women who will follow you in your appointed course for our nation, Father. I thank you that you put godly people in positions of authority, Father, and that you stop the people that are going to vote against you, Father. Just make things happen in their life where they cannot turn out and vote, Father, and that we overtake with goodness, Father. And I pray for their souls, and I pray that they will come to an understanding of knowing that you are God and that you are ruler of all. And I praise you, Father, and I praise you, and I bless your holy name, and I thank you now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Father, you said in your word, there is nothing hidden that won't be revealed. And we pray that anything we need to know regarding this election will be revealed not only to us, but to the whole world. That we will not be deceived at the polls by false personality or fraudulent promises or lies or appearance or whatever it is that might sway someone in a wrong direction. There's one candidate, I don't recall his name, but he's the only one that's for preserving the Alamo, the cenotaph or whatever that is in front of the Alamo, so it would be good to research and see who that is. Thank you for your protection in this country. For all the good that you've given us, and thank you for giving us wisdom to make right decisions. We love you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Father God, according to your word in Luke 10:19 and 20, because our names are written in heaven, we take authority and cancel every hex, every magic, every curse that the witches that are ganging around our candidates, in the name of Jesus, we stop them. We plead the blood of Jesus and cancel every assignment they have. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to send the right labors to everyone on both sides of the aisle, Father, but especially, Lord Jesus, to your people who want to make a change for you, who want to be in line with your word. As the pastor said, that we'll stop this murdering that's going on. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We give you praise because you are our hope. You are our future. You are our healer. And you are our deliverer. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, we receive it.
Praise the Lord. Is everybody praying that wants to pray? Okay, one before we pray for each individual, we'll make an announcement today that we got a new prayer team member, and it's Baron.
Baron. Yes.
He's going to be a new prayer team member, and also he is, if you haven't heard, he is the new world heavyweight champ, weightlifter. What?
He's a powerlifting champ. Have him come up.
Oh, okay. Come up here, Baron. Yeah, I want y'all to know this boy is the new. He's a boy. The thing about it is, I thought about Baron this week when I was reading about David. I thought the only difference is when David went out there and here was this giant. Now, the giant was at least 9'6", maybe 10 or 11 feet. But Baron's not nowhere close to that tall. But I can still call him a boy because I know he's powered by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I know that's where he gets his power.
Amen.
And he knows that's where he gets his power. And when he prays over people, that's where it comes from. So. Just like little David, the little runt. He was just a little runt. That's what he was. I mean, he was the littlest guy in the whole family. Whenever they called him, when the prophet called him up there, he said, "What is this? Who you sending this little kid against me?" He said, "I come against you in the name of the Lord." And the name of the Lord, I mean, that God, I mean, he took that. Now, you stop and think, that giant had an armor suit on that was bronze, And little David had one, had, he had five smooth stones, and he picked up one of them smooth stones, and he flipped that thing around a few times, and he turned that thing loose, and that little smooth stone went through that armor and embedded itself into the brain of that guy. And let me tell you, David didn't do that. God did that, and because David did it, and that's exactly what Baron does. Whenever he was over there in the far side of the world, when they introduced him to come up, I may make a mistake here. If I do, he can correct me. They said something about, here's the Jesus man from America. Who would ever dream that he would be the Jesus man from America that would be the new heavyweight weightlifter of the world? So in other words, God took it, and Baron knows where I'm coming from. God took this boy, this young boy, and turned him into a giant killer. I'm telling you, he has done some great and terrible things. So he gets all kinds of prayers answered when he's in there in the prayer team. Whenever people come in and he prays over them, we get all kinds of answers. So he's learning how to be a prayer warrior, you know, and he's getting to be a good one. So now then, he's going to do great and wonderful things for the kingdom of God. And from here on out, greater and wonderful things happen. So, you know, he's going to be one of the new prayer team members. When I ask my prayer team members to stand up, they all stand up, but he's going to be one of those. Because he knows that everybody he's got healed, and he's had several wonderful testimonies, he knows that everybody got healed. It wasn't him, it was Jesus. And he knows it was Jesus. So that's why I call myself a boy. If I call myself a boy and I'm 80 years old, surely I can call this boy a boy. He's just a young whippersnapper, right, Baron? Me and him are both boys of the King. That's the thing about it. We both know Jesus. And so I love to see him when as I see what the Lord did for Baron with his leg. When, in fact, Dr. Solomon, he's a surgeon, he told Baron that the type of problem he had with his leg when it broke, that some people never heal before they can even walk on it again. Never. Much less be able to lift 800 pounds. But he was able to do that and get everything and to call all that forth and be prayed over and stand on God's word. And by the what was the total weight of whatever you lifted to make?
1,800 pounds.
Wow. Is that something or is that something? That's got to be Jesus, right? Okay. You want to say something?
Thank you, Jesus!
Boy, that ought to knock out any devil of anywhere. Yeah, that ought to knock out any devil anywhere. So praise the Lord. We are glad to have Baron on the team.
Amen.
He's a thank you, Jesus man. Okay?
Before I lift, everybody in the complex knows who I serve.
Amen.
I make it no doubt. I let everyone know. And when Pastor was talking about that, about the... I thought it was a news crew that was there the Saturday I lifted, but it was the Mongolian national TV, the whole country. So the next day I found out that one of the translators, she told me, she said, you know where you're on our national TV? And I said, no, I had no idea. I thought it was a news crew. And she said, no. So she pulled it up. And so she was translating what the gentleman was saying. And she said, okay, here he's talking. And he said, okay, here comes the Jesus guy from America. And I said, if I want to be known for anything, I want to be known as the Jesus guy from America.
Amen. That's for sure. What a way to be known.
And see, in Mongolia, it's only 2.5% Christian. But see, I know what God did. He wanted me to be the encourager for that 2.5% to let them know they're not alone.
Amen.
And he wanted the other 97.5% to see that Jesus is real.
Amen.
He is the Savior. So I was grateful to be in the position. All week it was blessed. I had dear friends pray for me that God would send me, he would go before me. Well, at 2.5%, the hotel we stayed in was a Christian hotel. So I was saying God was going definitely before, because when we were, the morning I got there, it was late. So the next morning I get up for breakfast, and it's scripture on the wall. And I said, do they know what that is? And so I was blown away. So I went into the place where we were going to lift, and I was in there by myself, and I felt God's presence. I felt his presence. And I just said, Father, I know you're here, and I know I'm going to do your will. You're going to use me to do your will. And I was grateful. After I won, and I went back to my room to go to sleep because it was a long day, and I had used up a lot of energy. But God wouldn't let me go to sleep. So I went downstairs, and I said, Father, I said, it's somebody you want me to talk to. I know it. So I went downstairs, and it was a gentleman who was a tourist that did tour guides. And he asked me if I wanted to go, and I said, no, I'm leaving tomorrow, which was the day he was doing the tour guide. So we started talking, and he said he was a Buddhist. And first thing I did was I asked him, I said, what has Buddha done for you? I asked him. I'm bold with mine. I said, what has Buddha done for you? And he said, he just give me peace. And I said, well, Jesus give a whole lot more than peace. He gives a whole lot more than peace. So we started talking. And he said, I want to come to America. And I said, I guarantee you on the word of the living God, if you find Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to come to America. And the guy's eyes did like this. He said, you real? I said, no doubt. He knew of a church that his friends go to. He said, I'm going to go to that church tomorrow. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So I come back to Texas, and I'm getting off the plane. And one guy sees me, and he said, you are that Jesus lifter from the platform. And I said, I am him. I am him. I want to be known as the thank you Jesus lifter, because when I get on that platform, I let Jesus know. I go from a broken kneecap last year to world champion this year. And I know my God, our Savior, is the only one that can do that.
Amen.
And I want to encourage everybody. And my dad, I went to see him and my mom and my grandparents yesterday. And I want to encourage everybody. Don't let nobody tell you what Jesus won't do for you. My dad, who's a minister, I love my dad. I knew he was doing this out of protection of his son. When I said I was going to go back and lift, my daddy literally told my stepmom, he crazy, he done lost his mind. Jesus done healed him, what is he doing? And my response to that is, well, if Jesus healed me, what am I worried about?
Amen.
What am I worried about? See, if I would have let my dad's fears and his shortcomings consume me instead of believing what the Father and Jesus told me, I wouldn't be here standing here as a world champion.
Amen.
See, when you have that in your heart, and it has to be in your heart, like Pastor said, we simple men. If it's in that book, we believe it.
Amen.
I'm not going to try to talk it away. I'm not going to try to disguise it anyway. I take Jesus at his word. Because if we believe that book and that book can't lie, then we take Jesus at his word and he get the last say so, nobody else.
Amen.
So I want everybody to know it. I'm grateful to be the world champion, but I'm more grateful to be known as that thank you Jesus lifter when I get on that platform. I'm grateful for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're grateful for you too, Baron. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, everybody, for your prayers. I know everybody was praying for me. I know that y'all wanted me to win, and I wanted to win, but I'm grateful for the platform to be put on national to get Jesus' name around the world, because The more, the quicker we get the word out around the world, the quicker our Savior gonna come back.
Amen. Amen.
Thank y'all. God bless.
Amen, brother. Praise God. Thank you. Wow. Okay, praise the Lord. We've had a good day today, and now I want all my prayer warriors to stand up.
All your world champions.
And my world champion, too. Praise the Lord, Baron. That's fantastic. So if you need to be prayed for today, you see one of these folks, and they'll pray over you, and we'll get things going. And just remember, all you got to do is repent of your sin, stand on God's word, and do what he says, and believe. Amen. When you believe, just like Baron said, when you believe, it will come to pass.
Amen.
So that's what all these other prayer warriors, they've been believing for a long time, and they've seen many people get healed. Right here. I mean, every one of these people that's standing up, every one of them, have either been healed or have seen people healed because they believe the Word of God.
Amen.
And so, wow, praise the Lord. Okay, if you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a box over there on the wall. If you need any of the CDs and DVDs, just pick them up, take them with you, take as many as you like. We have no problem. They're here and they're free. So only we have to pay for them. You don't have to pay for them. The Lord prays for them, so praise the Lord.
Okay, thank you.
So anyway, you are dismissed. If you need to be prayed for, get with a prayer warrior team member. And otherwise, you're dismissed, and have a great week this week. And if you're going to be an early voter, go be an early voter.